I didn't know he'd sung with all them big name preachers. I know what he thinks of me now. All right. I always enjoy Brother Kenny, my great singing, and very timely. And he said a little bird put that in his ear. Yeah, it's probably more like a big turkey. But, I said, Brother Kenny, I didn't know he was coming. We got to talking, and then I called him back, and I said, so you ain't doing nothing tomorrow? And he said, no. And I said, won't you come down, do that song, No Much the More, or So Much the More. And so he did, and I was going to use that scripture today. So if you have your Bibles, turn there to Hebrews chapter 10. This morning, Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read a few verses there this morning. We'll let you stand as we read the Word of God today. And we thank you for being here this morning. Maybe the Lord will give us a little something today out of the Word of God today that'll help us. And Hebrews 10, and let's begin reading in verse 22. And the Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you, and be seated. Our Father, we do thank you this morning for the ones that are here today. And Lord, we appreciate, Lord, a good crowd today, considering all the things, Lord, that our world's facing at this time. And we thank you for those that, Lord, are here. And Lord, we need something from God today, Lord, to carry from this place as well as to help us while we're here in this place. And thank you for ministering us, Lord, through the songs and reminding us, Lord, there is someone bigger than the storm. And we thank you, Father, to know that, Lord, that that day is approaching. And we thank you that you're still in the Lord saving people. We've heard of several last week or two that have gotten saved. And so the Lord is working during all this and helping people that are not saved to feel the need to get saved and to know how to be saved. And some of them are doing it. And Lord, I ask you now to bless this message today. Give me the message and Lord, the introduction, me to the sermon. And I pray the Lord would season it out of heaven with some things that maybe you want in here that I don't have in here, and take some things out that I have in here that maybe you don't want in here. And Lord, help us all today. And your presence, Lord, is what we desire. Our greatest request, Lord, is for your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's a great chapter here in the Word of God. Of course, every chapter in the Word of God is a great chapter. But the book of Hebrews chapter 10 here has just got so much in it. I just read about middle ways in it, just a few verses here right in the middle of it. But we see some things as we kind of wade into the chapter there in verse number 4. We see that there's some things that is just not possible. The Bible said there, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And so, you know, there's some things in this old world that's just not possible. I know the Bible said that all things are possible with God, but that's something that's not even possible with God. The blood of bulls and goats, they could stay sin, but they couldn't take it away. That's why Christ had to come. And there is some things that even the Lord cannot do because He's bound by His own Word. That's what it is. And we realize that this morning. And we read here about the person of this book, the Bible. And you know, there is a person of the Bible. And He tells us about that when we get down here to verse 7. The Bible said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do Thy will, O God. You cannot understand the Bible without the person of the Bible. Jesus said that, He said, I come in the volume of the book, and the book's written about me, is what He's saying. Jesus is to the Bible what the blood is to the body. Jesus is to the Bible what the letters are to the alphabet. The Bible said, He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Bible said. And so, you know, once you meet the person of the Bible in salvation, then the Bible's a new book. It just opens up, and then you see Him and all the types and shadows, and everything is pointing to the Lord. Amen. And then in verse 11-12, He talks about, you know, some priests, and He said, every priest daily ministereth and offerings oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, ever sat down on the right hand of God. Now you get thinking about all them priests back through the old Bible. You get thinking about all them priests that offered countless, numberless amounts of sacrifice daily, offering these sacrifices, never stopping. So much offering, they never sat down. They were just constantly offering these sacrifices. But when our priest came, the Lord Jesus, He offered one sacrifice. He offered Himself, and He was done. He's never offered any more sacrifices. He never will offer any more sacrifices. And when He had offered Himself, the Bible said He sat down at the right hand. You say, why? The work's done. He does it. We don't need any more sacrifices. It's over. Amen. And because of that sacrifice, we have a great promise in verse 17. And the Bible said, in their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Ain't that a great promise in the Word of God? I think Brother Mike was telling me this morning, he'd been working on that song, Marla Sings, What Sins Are You Talking About? Well, the reason that song's true is because of that promise in verse number 17. And then in verse 19 and verse 20, He talks about a great passage that has been opened up. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You see, used to we couldn't do like we did this morning. Like Brother Caleb had a need. Used to you couldn't just run right there and talk to the Lord. You couldn't do that. The way had not yet been made. The way had not yet been opened yet. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said that the veil to the temple was rent from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, but from top to bottom. And the Bible says that when that happened, that through the veil of the Lord's flesh, that when He died on the cross, it opened up a new and a living way where that you can come boldly into the throne room of grace and find help in a time of need. Now, those are just some five wonderful things there in these verses leading up to where that I'm going today. And I do want to preach today on that text there in verse number 25. I do want to preach on that last line, that last phrase, as the Bible said, as you see the day approaching. Now, a lot of commentators that you read, they all say, a lot of them, that this chapter has to do with apostasy, which it does. They say this chapter here that the writer is writing to these Hebrew people. A lot of them are under the old Judea system. A lot of them are Judaizers. How that he's writing these things, and he's telling them, you know, hey, you got a new and a living way. You got a high priest. You got a sacrifice that's been offered. You don't need any more sacrifices other than him. You don't need to forsake the assembling together around these promises and around the things of God. And he's trying to get these people to see that if they don't accept Christ and they don't take Christ, and they stay with their old Judaism and they go the way that they've been believing and going, there is no more sacrifice for sin there in verse 26 and 27. If they willfully turn away from Jesus as the Messiah and the sacrifice for our sin, there's not any place else to go. Folks, if you don't want the Lord this morning, there's nowhere else to go. If you don't want to, if you're not willing to accept Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary, there's nowhere else to go. You can't go to Muhammad. You can't go to any other of these things. They won't work. Jesus meant what He said when He said, "I am the way." I preached on that last week. Jesus said, "I am the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of many ways. I'm a good way." He said, "I am the way." I know the world don't like that. The world don't like a lot of stuff us preachers preach out of this King James Bible. Somebody said they don't like it today. They didn't like it yesterday. And they ain't going to like it tomorrow either. Amen. But I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you're going to ever get to heaven, you got to go through Jesus Christ. And if you don't go through Him, I ain't going to see you there around the throne. Amen. He is the only way. Now, I'm for sure about this. I've heard a lot of preaching in the last year, and they say, well, this forsaken assembly has got nothing to do with church. It's all about what I just talked about. Well, I believe it is about that, but I think also it has something to do with our day. Because the Bible said, as you see the day approaching. In our day, we got the church. In our day, we're in the end times. In our day, we're waiting for Jesus to come. And if you can't see the day approaching, you've never read that Bible, you've never heard one sermon on the end time, you know nothing about the Word of God. But if you can't look around you and see that that day is approaching, and it ain't just approaching, it's fast approaching. Like the Bible said, there's some things that we need to do. Amen. We need to do. You say, well, what do we need to do? Well, let's look at it here. The Bible tells us here in verse 22, He said, let us draw near. Amen. We see the Lord coming, and we need to be drawing near and closer to the Lord. I like that old song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Granted, Jesus, let it be. Listen, the sad thing is today, that instead of the church drawing closer to the Lord, it's drifting farther away. Well, that's opposite of what the Word of God said we're to do. The Bible said that we need to be drawing nearer to the Lord. Amen. We need to be trying to get closer to the Lord. You know, in the Bible, you say, well, this these times we're living in. There's a pandemic. There's all this political stuff going on and all this rioting going on. And preachers, just a bad time. It might be a bad time, but that don't give you an excuse from being away from God. Amen. You see, there's been bad times before. And when you read the Word of God, there was a time probably better than the time we're in right now, back in Genesis 6 and Genesis 5. It was a bad time. You say, preacher, how do you know it wasn't bad as it is now? Because you're still here. Amen. It got so bad in that kind of a day that the Bible said that God, He repented it ever even made a man. God repented it ever breathed the breath of life into Adam. God repented that it ever made a man. And God said it repented Him that He made man, put him on the earth. And He said the imagination of every man's heart was continually evil. And God said, I'm going to destroy man from off the earth, which I have made. It was a bad time. But you know what? Even though it was a bad time, there was a man and his family there by the name of Noah. And do you know the Bible said in that bad time, Noah could have said, well, it's a bad time. Everybody's thinking wrong. Everybody's doing wrong. Don't nobody want to get in the ark. Don't want nobody to go to church. And I got an excuse. So I'm just going to drift away from the Lord a little bit. No, the Bible said during that bad time, the Bible said Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God during that bad time. When there wasn't nobody else wanting to walk with God, nobody else was wanting to go to church, nobody else was wanting to hear the preaching, the Bible said Noah walked with God. Amen. Did you know it's a bad time in John 13? They're fixing to crucify the Lord, take Him to Calvary's cross. It's a bad time. The disciples are dropping like flies. One of them has already sold the Lord, fixing to, for $19.20. It was a bad time. One of them fixing to warm himself by the devil's fire is a bad time. But the Bible said John, he stayed close to the Lord. The Lord got them disciples in a little upper room there the night before He was going to be crucified. And some of them are way down on the end of the table. I guess Judas is down there close to the door so he can get out real quick. But the Bible said John, he's leaning on the breast of Jesus. He's close as he can get. John stayed close. He didn't just stay close in that room. He stayed close at the cross. The Bible said now there stood by the cross John, that disciple of the Lord. You know, John stayed close when all the rest of them's gone, all the rest of them been beheaded and everything else had happened to him, beat to death with a club. Old John, he's still there on the island of Patmos. And he's still close to the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said it's on the Lord's day. He heard the voice of the Lord and he saw the Lord in that bad time. Now folks, you talk about social distancing. You're talking about bad times. John is on the island of Patmos all by himself. It ain't 6 feet apart. It's 600 miles apart from anybody. But you know what? He still stayed close to the Lord. He still heard the Lord's voice. Amen. Unlike Peter, he didn't stay close to the Lord. Unlike Peter, he drifted away from the Lord. Unlike Peter, Peter followed afar off from the Lord. He didn't want to get close to the Lord. You say, what happened to Peter? Well, he wound up going back to his old way. He wound up doing a little cursing. He wound up trying to just go away from the Lord. You say, why? He didn't stay close to the Lord. As we see the day approaching, you need to stay close to the Lord. You say, why? Because if you don't, you'll be like a lot of people out there this morning. You're cold. Probably you already gone back to cussing some, if we knew the truth. You already drifted away from the Lord. The Bible said we need to stay close to the Lord. Enoch lived in a bad time. Enoch lived right before Noah. And the Bible said that Enoch walked with the Lord. How long? 300 years Enoch walked with God. Amen. You having trouble making it the last 6 months. The Bible said Enoch walked with the Lord 300 years. He walked with God. Amen. You say, I think Enoch knew that day was approaching. And so he just stayed close to the Lord. That's what you and I need to do. Amen. Amen. Amos and James, Amos in the Old Testament, James in the New Testament. Amos and James tell us how to stay close to the Lord. Amos said, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amen. You cannot walk with the Lord if you don't agree with what the Lord says in the Bible. You can't walk with the Lord if you don't believe what the Lord said about same-sex marriage and all of that stuff. You can't walk with the Lord. You got to walk with the Supreme Court. You can't walk with the Lord because the Lord said that's wrong. Amen. Supreme Court said it's okay, but God said it ain't right. Amen. You can't walk with the Lord if you're doing what the world says about drinking and about cussing and about adultery and about a million other sins that we could name this morning. You can't walk with the Lord. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to say, Lord, I don't care who says it, what they said it. This book says this, and I'm going to believe you. Well, you can stay close to the Lord. You walk with the Lord then. If you don't do that, you're going to part ways with God. You say, preacher, you said James, that's right. The Bible said, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. And it says they draw close to God. And it said God will draw close to you. Amen. But he also says this, wash your hands, you sinners. We can't walk close to the Lord if we got dirty hands. Amen. I guess a lot of people's doing a lot of hand washing nowadays. And that's all right. I don't blame you. That's a good thing to do. I just wish people were washing their spiritual hands as much as they're washing their physical hands in this kind of day we're living in. Amen. I don't know about you, but every day of my life I say, Lord, wash my hands. Amen. You know what Jesus told Peter? Peter said, Lord, you never wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash you, you don't have no part with me. Amen. You say, well, I'm saved. You may be saved, but you still get your hands dirty. You may be saved, but this world's not saved, and that's where you're living at. And if you're going to stay close to the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord, you say, preacher, I can't hear from God anymore. That's because you're too far away from Him. To hear somebody talk, you got to be close to them. Now, I'm not talking. I'm yelling and screaming. I know they hear me on the back row. But when some of them stand up and testify, they're talking, and I'll see you up here saying, I can't hear what they're saying. That's because you ain't close to them. Amen? If you want to hear what somebody's saying, you got to get close to them. Amen? And so the Bible says, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, the Bible says. We need to be drawing closer to the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you closer to the Lord at this point in all of this than you was at the beginning of all this? You ought to be. I'll tell you what, you ought to have more Bible read than you've read in a long time. You ought to have more praying done than you've done in a long time. You and me ought to be closer. And I say this not bragging. I've said it before. But when all this started, I didn't have to change a thing. I was already talking to the Lord every morning for a long time. I was already talking to the Lord during the day. I was already talking to the Lord at the end of the day. I was already reading the Bible. I didn't have to do none of that because I already had it going on. Amen. But you think about folks that wasn't doing that before all this hit. They probably ain't doing it now, probably. There might be a few that just got them stirred up and got them a little afraid. And they started praying. They started reading their Bible. I hope that's true. I hope that's you. But I'll tell you this. We need to be getting closer to the Lord because His coming's getting closer to us. Amen. Now, look at verse 24. Not only are we to draw near or to be getting closer, but the Bible said, let us consider. We need to consider some things. And I think 2020 has made all of us consider some things that we hadn't considered before. Amen? We've had to deal with some things and think about some things that we didn't even think was possible to happen, that we would have to deal with them. God said about Israel in Isaiah 1 and 3, God said their problem was, He said, my children, they do not consider. Amen. He said they don't consider. Well, it's time as we wait for the Lord to come, we see that day approaching. We need to consider some things today. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's think about this. The Bible said, consider one and another. Amen. We need to consider each other in our kind of a day. We need to consider the folks in the church. Amen. We need to consider folks that are in this world that you and I live in. Amen. We need to become more considerate than we have ever been before of one another. You say, why? Well, there's a lot of people that are depressed today. They need to be considered. Amen. There's a lot of people in our church especially. There's a lot of people during this last 2 or 3 months that have lost loved ones. We need to consider them. Amen. We need to consider Sister Penny. We need to consider Miss Amy. We need to consider Sister Tony. Amen. These people have lost loved ones and we need to pray for them. They got a lot going on. We need to consider Miss Alla. Amen. Brother Gordon has gone to be with the Lord. And we need to consider their hurting people in our church. You say, how can I consider them? You ever heard of a card? You can mail them a card and say, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You say, preacher, what about Facebook? They may not have Facebook. Amen. Facebook's just saying you're too cheap to buy a card. Amen. That's all it is. Let me tell you something. You can pick up a phone. You can call somebody. Amen. We need to consider some people. We need to consider those bus kids used to ride our bus. We ain't seen them 6 or 7 weeks. I know we got some that has called them and mailed things to them, and that's good. But we need to be considering them. Amen. We need to consider there's some folks, they have a bad sickness. They have a legitimate reason for not being here this morning. We need to consider them. Amen. We need to pray for them. We need to consider our church. Amen. We need to consider God's church. Amen. I really think a whole lot of people don't realize how bad that all this has hurt the church. Folks, all you gotta do is just look around. I mean, normally on a Sunday, 3 months ago, we wouldn't have seating room hardly to seat the people that's here. You say, what's happened? All this has hurt the church. I'd say of all the things the devil wanted to hurt, I'd say what he'd rather hurt worse than anything else is the church. Amen. He'd rather keep people away from the house of God. Amen. The Bible says that we need to consider one another. Amen. We need to consider that and think about the church this morning and uphold the church and lift up the church. I think a lot of people don't realize that we're living in a time when, brother, you could lose your church. You say, what do you mean? You say, preacher, the Bible said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We had Bill Grady here first of the year, and he showed us how that verse is not talking about the way people use it. It's talking about how the church is supposed to be prevailing against the gates of hell. It ain't hell pushing against the church. It's the church pushing against hell. You say, well, the church can't never shut down. You better drive through the country. Amen. You better talk to some people I talk to. They're closing up every day. You say, why? Because people just think, well, our church will always be here. Won't nothing ever happen to our church. We need to consider the church. Amen. The Bible said Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. Amen. I'm glad there's some folks that love the church. Amen. I'm glad there's some people that love God's house. Amen. Hey, we got a little girl in Wendy. She's a foster girl. And y'all know Wendy. And Wendy, because of the program she's under, they wouldn't let Wendy come back to church. They wouldn't let her come. And she loves church. That's one of her main things is church. And I just wrote a letter this week to the authorities over her and telling them about all that we're doing and all that we've done and trying to persuade them to let Wendy come back to church. And we hadn't been okayed yet, but it's pretty close. There's a real good chance that Wendy will be here next Sunday morning. Amen. Wendy loves church. Amen. Wendy cried because she didn't get to come to church. Have you ever cried because you didn't get to come to church? Wendy cried. cried because she didn't get to come to church. She loved the church that much. Amen. Listen, we need to consider there's some folks in here that really need the church. You've got a husband. You've got a family. You've got a mom and dad. You've got somebody that you can talk to and be with. And you know there's a lot of people, they got's a church. They got's a church. They love the church. They want to be at church. Their family's a church. They love it. Amen. We need to consider the church in our kind of a day. I'll tell you something else. We need to consider our country. I'm talking about close to possibility of losing the church and losing the freedoms and losing all this stuff. We're close to losing our country, folks. Amen. Listen, when they want to tear down a statue, and I'm not for statues and idols and all that, but when they want to tear down a statue of Jesus Christ, they're starting our way now. Amen. They want to tear down all these statues that have nothing to do with anything in our day except our history. I studied about them growing up in school. I learned about them growing up in school. I don't hate blacks. I love them. They can come to church here. I'll preach to them. I'll tell them about Jesus. Amen. Them statues ain't got nothing to do with that. They're just telling us our past and where we come from. And they want to destroy our past because they don't want us to know where we come from. Amen. They won't destroy our country. Amen. They won't change the national anthem.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I guarantee you not a single one of them ever wore a uniform, held a gun,
right.
And laid in a foxhole,
right.
And got shot at and bombs flying over. Yeah. They should have no say. If you want to talk about getting rid of that flag, let our soldiers decide about it. Amen. Let our armed forces decide about it. And if they want to get rid of it, I won't say a word. But they shed their blood. They got shot at. Many of them didn't come back. The very idea. They're trying to destroy this country. I know there's a bunch of folks in here, probably everybody in here. You love our country. You love America. But I want to tell you, folks, if we don't consider our country, if we don't start praying harder about it, if we don't sign up and go vote, amen. You say, preacher, I don't know who to vote for. Come see me, amen. I want you to know, listen, you oughtn't have to, it don't take a whole lot. Don't look at the man. Don't look at him. Look at the policies, amen. And I'll tell you, one side wants to destroy our country, amen. I'm not for that, amen. We need to consider America, thank God. It's still the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's got a lot wrong with it, maybe more than even other countries, but it's the only one people still get in a raft or a canoe and put their life at a risk to try to get over here to America. Amen. They want to destroy this country. Amen. We need to consider it. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to register and sign up and go vote. Somebody said, preacher, I can't do nothing about it. Wrong. You can do two things about it. One, you can pray about it. And number two, you can go vote. Amen. Yes, sir. I was talking about the church. And we need to go. I was listening to David Carr teach Sunday school this morning. And he said this about Pulaski County. And I'm sure it'd be about the same for Barron County. But he said in Pulaski County, only 75% of their population go to church, don't go to church. 75% of their population does not go to church. That only leaves 25%. And now half of them's gone. I'm sure it's the same in Barron County. We probably got 25-30% in Barron County that don't go to church. Amen. Go to Walmart? Go to Lowe's? Go to work? Go out to eat? Go to the doctor? But not church. This coronavirus is kind of weird.
Yes.
It don't bother you to take your shirt off and write side by side.
Yeah.
3,000 other people, no problem. Just don't go to church.
Right.
It'll get you there at church. Thing hangs around church.
Yeah, it's smart.
Amen. It's smart. I don't believe it's saved.
Yeah.
It must be an Antichrist virus. Well, because it's against God.
Yeah.
It's against everything that has to do with God. Amen.
Right.
Amen. But you think about what David said there. I'm just quoting him. 75% of people don't even go to church.
Right.
25% do. And we won't even talk about Sunday school.
Yeah.
But 25% of the people go to church. And you knock half them out.
Yeah.
Nah, right.
You got 10% of the people going to church.
Yeah.
Consider that this morning.
Amen.
Think about that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We need to consider the church. We need to consider our country.
Amen.
We need to consider the countless multiplied millions that are lost without God. Can I ask a question this morning? How many people got saved in a church? Can y'all see them? Hold them up there real high, wave. How many got saved in a church?
Amen.
All right, put them down. How many got saved somewhere besides church? You see why the devil don't want you to come to church?
I got saved outside.
Now, you can get saved outside. You don't have to be in church to get saved. My point is that most people do get saved in church. So why do you think that the devil, oh, this thing's real, this virus is real. No, please don't think I'm not saying it ain't real. I've had some preacher friends that nearly died with it, and some of them I wasn't as close to that did die. It's real. I'm not saying it's not real. What do you think the devil's using this for?
Yeah.
Keep people out of the house of God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. I mean, people get a cold, won't come to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. People get the flu. Folks, we go through flu season.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
When I'd say, don't shake hands, see, I was ahead of the government. Don't shake hands. Can you imagine what would have happened if we had wore masks and used hand sanitizers and didn't hug each other during flu season? I mean, Baptists are hugging people. Somebody can be back there throwing up and somebody will hug them. They're just hugging people. Amen. The only way you're going to get somebody not to shake your hand in Baptist church is cut your hand off. But somebody going to shake it before you get out of there. I'm for being safe. I'm for not being a fool. Amen. So I said last Sunday, I'm not against the mask. I just want one to go a little farther up over my eyes so I can't see everything going on in this country. Amen. I'm talking about folks that would mess church before all this hit. But you see the problem now. And I understand there are older folks that have got immune deficiencies and there are older folks that have a bad diabetic or bad heart trouble. Our folks, Miss Barry, we got her, she's on dialysis 3 times a week. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I urge you
to
stay home. But folks, I'll just tell you, I don't understand these young people.
Amen.
Say they're scared to come to church. And I had somebody ask me the other day where so-and-so was. And I said, well, they're afraid to come to church. So I just seen them at Walmart.
Yeah.
Now, folks, I'm not aggravated at you this morning. I'm just preaching.
Amen.
I'm just preaching.
Yeah.
But if you can go to the lake, and you can go to your job 5 and 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Some folks say, and I hear this a lot, preacher, all I do is run in and out of the grocery store. Won't you run in and out of church once a month?
Amen.
Amen.
You say, I don't like crowds. Come on Wednesday night. Miss Brenda said, Brother Rick, so glad Miss Brenda's here today.
Amen.
She said, Brother Rick, I don't need to sit near nobody. I said, Miss Brenda, just keep that mask on. Nobody will sit near you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I said, look, it ain't going to be no problem this morning anyway.
Right.
Not to have somebody sitting around you. But we need to consider church.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell you something else we need to consider. The Bible said there, he's talking about things we need to do so much the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. You see, a church could never survive on a live stream. It'll work for a little while. It'll work for a little while. Brother, I can't even think his name now. Brother Ralph, he sent me a thing last night. He sends me a lot of stuff on the internet. He sent me a thing last night. And it said how preachers have failed the church during the coronavirus. And I heard a talk show about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And a lady called in and she said, I'm so disappointed in the preachers because they have shut down the church. And I don't do call-ins very much, but boy, I come close to doing a call-in that day. And I wanted to call in, and I said, I wanted to say, ma'am, did you ever think, you talk about how the pastors have failed the churches. I said, have you ever thought about how the churches have failed the pastors? I said, I wanted to say, have you ever thought about how many times that a preacher booked an evangelist, booked singers, got them in? I wanted to have revival and hardly anybody showed up. I said, have you ever thought about that? Now, I like Brother Ronald called me this week. Brother Ronald said, Brother Rick, he said, I'm so thankful for what you did. I said, what do you mean? He said, you had services 3 times a week and sent out daily devotions every day. And he said, I'm so thankful for what you did. I said, well, it was just at the times all I could do. And he said, well, some of them didn't even do nothing. And I said, well, thank you, Brother Rondo. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate that. And you got a lot of folks. You know, you folks are a great encouragement to me. You come to the house of God and all that. You're a great encouragement to me. I want you to know, I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. I'm happy as a pig in a mud hole.
Amen.
But I got a lot of friends that ain't. I got a lot of friends that ain't. I got a lot of pastors that's down and out. They're just about ready to the point to quit. Because folks, there's something y'all got to realize. Now, I'm 66 years old. And I've been preaching 40 years. But I ain't never been through nothing like this. And there's a whole lot of other people like that. And if this comes back again like they say it's going to, it's probably going to be different. I think it's going to be a whole lot of people like that. And I'm not saying you'll come. That'll be up to you, but I'll be here.
Amen. Thank you.
But see, there's a whole lot of things that preachers my age and younger, they've never even had to experience anything like this before. It took them by as big a surprise as it took you. Amen. Well, so much the more. There's something else about this here. The Bible says in verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is. Amen. Now, the church, you can't live on live stream. You can do it for a little while. Let me prove that. Our first live stream, our numbers were out the roof. By the time we quit, they were going down every day. They were getting less and less, sometimes on Wednesday night. Only me. Now, we had one Wednesday night, and Brother Tyler said, Brother Rick, there wasn't nobody on there tonight. And really, I don't think we ever had a time there wasn't somebody on there. But one Wednesday night, he said, Brother Rick, wasn't nobody on there tonight. But as soon as I got in my truck, people started calling me, so that was great. You see, it didn't show up on there. They were on there, but it didn't show up. But I'll tell you what, if we had the live stream and that's all it was live stream, that's all we could do, church wouldn't survive on it. You say, why? God didn't make her that way. You see, a church is like a box I got in the mail the other day. And I UPS, and I brought it into the house, and I noticed on the box it said, some assembly required. That's the way a church is. A church, some assembly is required. You say, when does the church need to get together? The Bible said, as we see his day approaching, so much the more. So during critical times. These are critical times. Folks, I can no longer preach 2 Timothy 3 the way it's wrote. The way it's wrote says perilous times will come. I can't preach it that way no more. I have to say perilous times are here. They're here. And you know where folks need to be in critical times? They need to be in church. They need to be, Brother Lance, assembled. Would you say that was a critical time? Brother Caleb, when Jesus is going to be crucified and whipped and beaten and die on an old rugged cross. Do you know what they were doing the night before that? They were assembled! 12 people and Jesus were assembled on the most critical night this world has ever seen! And the Bible said, what did they do? They took the Lord's Supper, the Passover, if you will, and they sung a song. 40 days later, Jesus is going back to heaven. Do you know where those men and those women were when Jesus went back to heaven at a very critical time? The Lord had walked with them for 3 years and now He's leaving! Do you know where they were? They were assembled in a upper room! And the Lord came! The Holy Spirit came! You say they're persecuting the church. Not yet. Persecuting the church is Acts 12. As far as I know, nobody in Barron County has had their head chopped off yet. In Acts 12, they cut James's head off and put Peter in jail. Do you know where the saints were? They were assembled down there at the house. They were praying. God gave deliverance. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to ask you like I hear preachers do. Is this all right? I ain't asked you it's all right. I know it's right. I'll tell you another reason church needs to get together. I'm going to kill it here, but it's truth. Church needs to get together because of the collection. First Corinthians 16. The Bible said upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay in store as God has prospered them. Amen. In other words, first day of the week, you to bring an offering to the Lord. Somebody said, oh, I noticed when I drove in, we got new parking lots, paving up there, strapped down here, and the preacher's going to preach about money today. Honey, that's all paid for. You paid for it if you gave anything. It's all paid for. We don't owe a dime. Somebody said the church needs money. Church don't need no money. We don't owe nobody. Owe nobody a dime. We got money in the bank. Miss Linda's treasurer, ask her. She'll tell you. We got money in the mission fund. We got money in the building fund. But you know why we do? Because the church has been meeting over the years. And taking a collection. Somebody said, preachers want money. Honey, I ain't want no money. Church takes good care of me. God's took care of me during this pandemic.
Amen.
That part of it, I kind of hate to see it in. I mean, I went down to my mailbox one morning, and I had a big package of country ham wrapped up in there.
Amen.
Glory to God. Elijah ain't got nothing on me. I don't know who brought it, but I had country ham in there. Bill, I went down there one morning, and I had $500 cash in there. I checked my mail several times during all this. I went down there one morning, and I had $1,000 laying in there. You say, you don't know who gave it? Oh, yeah, I know who gave it. I just don't know who brought it. God's taking care of me. I don't need nothing. I ain't wanting for nothing. Amen. I ain't mouthing on my Father. He takes good care of me. Amen. I don't need nothing. My bills are all paid. I went for 23 years from week to week and sometimes didn't make it to the end of the week. But since I've been serving God full time, the Lord's took better care of me than I've ever been took care of my entire life. Amen. I'm here to tell you, my Father, He takes good care of me. So I'm not preaching because I want any money. The guys could stand up and tell you many times they said, preacher, we're going to give you a raise. I said, no, you ain't. Make enough now. Don't need it. Do something else with it. So I'm just saying all this to tell you, I'm not doing this because of money. I'm doing this because the Bible says you need to give. Now here's the thing. We didn't have church for, I don't know how long, 6 weeks I think. We didn't have church. Did you know we had a bunch of people that sent their tithes every week? Just like we was having church. Brother Rondo, they mail it to him. Some of them tried to give it to me. I said, don't give it to me. Mail it to Treasury. They mail it to him. We had a whole lot of people, amen. And thank God for people like that. That lets me know you're considering the church. You're thinking about the church. Somebody said, the preacher ain't preaching, honey. I preach 3 times a week. It's like I always did. So, we don't need no money. The preacher ain't preaching. Preacher don't get all the money. Them lights are still on this morning, ain't they? Did the water work back there when you turned it on? Did it work all right? See, they don't give us that stuff free. Now, I'm talking about, y'all still with me? I'm talking about so much the more as you see the day approaching. But here's the thing, I got to tell it all. We've had people that has not been to church since the last day we had church. They've not sent one red cent. They've not brought one red cent. You say, what are you saying? If we didn't have church and get them back in the building, they'd never give another penny. You say, are they hearing the sermons? Yeah, they're hearing them right now. We live streaming. They hearing them on live stream or out in the parking lot one. You say, why ain't they sent no money? They're on the welfare system.
Yeah.
They're living on what you sent.
Yeah. Right.
They're living on what you gave.
Right.
You paying the preacher.
Yeah.
You paying for the lights. You paying for all these things.
Yeah.
They ain't sent one cent. Boy, when they do come back, though, we're going to have an offer. It probably $20,000 or $30,000 when they bring all that back. Pay glory to God. Get back here quick as you can. Amen. We need to meet because of the collection, and then we need to meet because we have a compelling motivation. You say, "What is it?" We read it. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. Jesus is coming, amen. And when He comes, I want Him to find me still assembling. I want Him to find me still drawing closer. Amen. I want Him to find me still holding the fort. Hold the fort, for I'm coming. I want Him to see me still waving the flag. Amen. And it ain't going to be the flag of surrender. It's going to be the flag of charge. Victory flag. Amen. He's coming, folks. He's coming. I like that old song, "Hold the Fort, for I'm Coming." And Luke said, "Occupy till He comes." What we're doing right now in preaching terms and Bible terms is called rear guard action. In military terms, that's what it's called, what we're doing. You say, what are we doing? Well, we're just here in the rear guard. We're just, those out in front of us, we're just holding the fort and preaching the Word and praying and trying to help folks because we know He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. Amen. I hear people talk about Him coming that didn't even believe He would come. I heard an infidel, an atheist, somebody didn't even believe in God. Talk about the end of the world. Man, this thing looks like it's going in. Amen. So the Bible says, let us draw closer. The Bible says, let us consider. And the Bible says, let us congregate. Let us come together. Helps us. There's a lady told me, first Sunday back, she said, "Preacher, I can't believe how different you are here than how different you was on that live stream." I said, "Well, that's because you're here." And here's my theology on it. I've told you before, but I want to tell you again. Here's my theology on it. All of us are saved, sealed with the Holy Ghost, so we all got a measure of the Holy Ghost. We've all got the Holy Ghost living with us. One day, Kenny and John come down. So that day it was Kenny and John and David and Tyler and me. It was us. So we had as much Holy Ghost as five people can get. But this morning we got 50, 60. And y'all got the Holy Ghost in you, so we got more Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's something about, I think David Jolly told me this. Lord, it's 1 o'clock. I didn't start till Kenny sung a long time. I'll tell you this. If you have a singer up, and I'm not saying this about Kenny, if you have a singer up and they sing for an hour and a half and they turn the preacher loose and he preaches 20 minutes, I guarantee the preacher will get the blame. They'll say, "That preacher preached for an hour and a half." That's the way they do it. I've seen it. Amen. Look, we need to be together.
Amen.
Helps you, don't it, Miss Joanne?
Amen.
Helps you see people.
Yeah.
Helps you to hear live preaching. Hear good live singing. See somebody get saved.
Amen.
Really helps you. Amen. So the Lord said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
It's approaching.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you, Brother.